not to beat the facts to death again, as the instructions state, but my client is an ATF officer, and he's subject to regular reviews for his credit history and his security purposes with his job. During one of these reviews, it was noted that he had some credit problems with a cell phone bill. He had taken care of that cell phone bill by a mutually agreed upon disposition of it, which had involved some unauthorized calls being made or cloning being done from his cell phone. Years later, he is contacted by the collection agency for Ameritech, and his credit report is posted with the unpaid bill in its totality. A couple of letters were sent to Ameritech and their collection agency, and there was no resolution. A suit was filed, a summons was issued, waiver of service of summons was sent. I was contacted by an attorney for CB Accounts, and at that time we entered into negotiations to try and clear up the credit of Mr. Monet. Shortly thereafter, my secretary went on vacation, and a rule to show cause issued from the district court, which commanded me to appear before that court and show cause why the case should not be dismissed with prejudice. We had a temporary worker in our office at that time, and I'm not pushing any responsibility off on anybody else. My workers are my responsibility as well. But it doesn't make any difference. That particular order was covered by the EFS filings and notifications and brochures that was just taken without me looking at it and put in the client file. A few weeks later, I received an order that showed that the case had been dismissed with prejudice. The very day that I received that order, I filed a motion to reconsider that was backed up by two affidavits. That motion was denied. The motion to reconsider was denied, and that brings us to the appeal today. The standard of review here is an abuse of discretion standard.
I may have misunderstood, counsel, but I thought you said there was a waiver of service in this lawsuit?
The waiver of service was never returned to me, so it could be filed with the court, Your Honor. The waiver of service was sent to Ameritech, who never responded to it, but CB Accounts' attorney did respond to it, and we were in active negotiations to try and settle the case. The abuse of discretion standard is that no reasonable person would have allowed this case to be dismissed under these circumstances, or that it's fundamentally unfair. I believe under these circumstances that both of those criteria do exist here. I believe that no reasonable person would allow this to stand as a dismissal with prejudice, and that it is absolutely fundamentally unfair to Mr. Monet. The stage in the litigation when this was dismissed, everything in the pleadings has to be taken as true. And therefore, there's a viable cause of action out there that's undisputed at the time.
If this were changed to a dismissal without prejudice, of what practical use would that be to you? I'm thinking of the statute of limitations and that sort of thing.
Well, this is an ongoing problem, Your Honor, and that's an interesting question. And actually, conclusion was going to be that I would hope that this court would dismiss it or order a dismissal under 4M of the rules, which is without prejudice, as opposed to a Rule 41 dismissal, which is with prejudice. To speak to that a little bit more, I believe that 4M is absolutely targeting this particular sort of circumstance where no return of summons is made. Right. And that rule says it's to be dismissed without prejudice, not with prejudice.
Right.
But some of the problems that I have with this personally are that when the order came out, and I guess personal things really shouldn't be brought out in this, when the order came out, the judge had said that I showed disrespect for not showing up in his courtroom. The affidavits actually, unequivocally show that I had no knowledge of that court date, that I had no actual knowledge. Now, we can all go into implied knowledge, applied apparent knowledge, and things like that, and certainly there was because my agents at my office got those things. But as far as actual knowledge, I had no actual knowledge of that court date. It was a mistake in scheduling with my office, and I missed the court hearing. I then explained it to him, and it didn't really matter. I mean, I think this thing was slated for a dismissal with prejudice from the very minute that the rule to show cause came out. It says, if you don't show, your case is going to be dismissed with prejudice.
Is this a routine method of disposing of these matters in the Central District?
Your Honor, I don't know. It's the first time I've ever seen that sort of a rule to show cause. Quite frankly, it's the first time I've ever, in 19 years of practice, ever been the subject of a rule to show cause.
Let me, again, I'm having some problem figuring this out. Probably just me. So you say CB Accounts had a waiver of service, and you were in negotiations with them, right?
That is correct. And they had not returned it, Judge. And the reason for that, Your Honor, is that...
So there wasn't anything in the record to show service.
That's absolutely correct. The reason for that was I look at the practice of law, and my opposing counsel for CB Accounts, I believe, did too, as problem solution. Mm-hmm. People come to us and they ask us to solve problems. Mm-hmm. And instead of running up the cost of litigation and saying, okay, file your appearance, let's get this on, as long as we're working towards resolution of the problem, you know, let's avoid the cost of litigation and use that for the benefit of both of our clients.
And did you ever bring that to the attention of the court in your motion?
Other than what was written and you have in the brief as an appendix, I never had the opportunity to. This was never scheduled for a hearing, Your Honor.
No, I just meant maybe in a motion to reconsider or something like that. Did you lay out that? I just can't remember whether that was in that you were trying to work out a settlement.
I can't remember either, Your Honor.
Yeah.
But this was not called up for oral argument on the motion.
I understand that, but I just wondered if you ever put that in front of the court, because we all admire your, you know, style of lawyering, you know, in terms of trying to resolve matters without going through all the expense and cost of litigation. It makes sense to do that up front. I just wondered if the court knew that, if you were able to put that before the court.
I don't believe I did. I really spoke to the factual basis. Exactly. What had happened internally in the office and why I wasn't there. I had hoped that it would be set for an oral argument so that could be explained. Additionally, I mean, while we're on that subject, it seems to me that what the court did is exactly contrary to what I was trying to do. Instead of trying to solve a problem here and find out what's going on, the Rule 41B dismissal created more problems. And I guess the obvious thing that's in probably all of your minds is, well, you have malpractice insurance. What's the problem here? It's going to be solved. That doesn't take care of my client's bad credit history and the problems he has with his work. Only an injunction can take care of that, or the threat of an injunction and the negotiations, which aren't going to take place if there's not the possibility of a forced resolution here. That's the problem with this. If this was about money, and I don't mean to confuse Monet and money here, but if this was about dollars and cents, Your Honors, this is way underneath my malpractice minimums that I have to pay as a deductible. And quite frankly, this appeal costs way more than what it would cost to take care of the account and send the money to Ameritech, even though they're not owed that money anymore, and be done with it. But that's not what this is about. We have to clear up Mr. Monet's credit history. And the only way to do that is by seeking an injunction or by resolution, by negotiation, which no one's going to negotiate with you if you've already lost the case. And that's what's happened here. I've already lost the case and never got the chance at the bite of the apple of justice, if you will. My client never got that. And that's the whole point of this exercise. And I hope if you find there is good cause for it, I would hope that there would be an order that would cause this case to be dismissed under 4M as opposed to 41B. I thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We'll move to the sixth case this morning, which is Benicia versus Gottlieb Memorial.